It's part
of his authority. And I wanted to mention that a book that I've read and even taught on in the Bible school, when we had a Bible school, The Believer's Authority by Andrew Womack, a powerful book. So I've pulled some excerpts from this. I want to just read a couple things. Sean, you might need to turn that down just a touch, brother, if I hear some feedback. Just from before we get going on the introduction, let me challenge you. Sometimes we have things that we've grown up with as far as that are part of our philosophy. We all have a philosophy. We all have a doctrine, a Christian doctrine in our lives, which is our philosophy. I would challenge you, and I even myself, that you would have ears to hear, that you would be willing to maybe learn some things different than what you believe. That some things that maybe you've been raised with and believed your whole life, that you would allow even God to challenge those things. I'm not sitting up here to say that I know all truth and that I know all doctrine. That's not what I'm saying. But saying that as far as the believer's authority or our authority as a believer, there's a lot, a big portion of, I believe, of the church that doesn't even think about it, doesn't even talk about it. The attitude, if you've been around here, you know that the attitude a lot of times it can be with believers is everything happens for a reason. And so we just kind of roll over and say, you know, let God's will be done. But as we start delving into this, we're going to lay a foundation today. I would ask that you say, Lord, let me have ears to hear. You know, as I've met Christians and things, when things are going wrong in our life, or things aren't going as well as we think they should be, or our Christian walk isn't what we anticipated, and it goes on for years, I come to learn from my own experience in life, it was my doctrine and my beliefs that were wrong. It was never God. It was never God that was wrong, right? What was I believing regarding God? What was I believing regarding his purposes on this earth, his purposes in my life? I've learned that when things start going wrong in my life or there's some struggles, I stop and say, okay, do I need to do anything different, Lord? What do I need to do differently? Because a lot of times it comes to learning, that's part of learning and growing. Amen? It's being able to say, God, I'm open to correction. I'm open to learn more. I haven't arrived. Nobody's arrived. Even Paul said he hadn't arrived. I'm pushing forward in his walk with the Lord. So let me just say that. Have ears to hear, amen, as we grow in the things of God. I read a little bit of introduction that Andrew, he says, hey, most people have a humanistic view of how life works. Even though Christians don't like this terminology, many of them function day by day with this same mentality. By only looking on the surface level, they don't recognize the spirit realm behind it all. Humanists don't acknowledge God as a whole. They're either agnostic or atheist, believing that everything in life has a natural physical cause. Listen, and a lot of people, maybe even those who believe in Jesus, might have that same belief system. It's sad to say, but many believers have the same attitude. They don't realize the spiritual dynamics behind what's happening in the physical realm. Let me just read a little bit more. We are in a spiritual battle. Every single day, there is a battle raging in the spirit realm for the heart of each individual person, society, and the world as a whole. God is trying to draw us toward himself and his goodness and righteousness. Now, we know we're righteous in Christ Jesus, but growing in that righteousness, growing in him, growing, understanding, you know, what's good and bad. There's still good and evil in the world, amen? So he's growing us into that understanding of that righteousness. He's trying to influence us to live consistently with him so that his blessings can manifest in our lives. Who here wants his blessings to manifest in their lives? Amen? I tell you, the biggest thing for the world to see or that'll draw them to Christ is when his blessing is manifesting in your life. If we need anything, Lord, in this day and age, may people see the manifestation of your blessing in our life. Amen? Amen. At the same time, Satan is trying to steal our hearts away from God. He is. Now, he can't have your soul. But what he would love to do is make you at least ineffective in this world, least ineffective in your family if you possibly can. And that's going to have everything to do with what you believe and not believe. Everything. Satan's trying to steal our hearts away from God in an all-out battle against the Lord and His kingdom. The enemy's pouring all the trash and corruption he can into our lives. Some of us, even Christians, don't recognize the intense battle being waged all around us each and every day. We don't know the spiritual significance of our choices, our words, and our actions. And those are things in the next few weeks we're going to start looking at. Amen? The devil can't control you outside of your will. However, your lack of awareness and understanding of the battle only works to his advantage. Father, we thank you again for your for open eyes and ears. Father, we thank you for your presence here. Thank you that when we gather, you are always here. Lord, we thank you for every heart, Father God, right now saying, Lord, I choose to soften my heart. Lord, I'm here to hear what you want to say to me, Father. We thank you for that growth in our lives as we press onward unto purpose and what you have for us in the 21st century, Father God. Here in the United States, we thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Amen, that introduction. So we know that in talking about the spiritual realm, amen? Let's talk about, maybe you know Ephesians 6, 12 and 13, for it says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly realms. Then it says, therefore take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all to stand, we stand. So Paul bringing this forth saying, why is he saying that we wrestle not against flesh and blood? Because it's very easy as people, because we are in a fleshly tent, amen, our body. What we see is flesh, so it's very easy to wrestle through life, the struggles, the things we face, the obstacles in the natural. Have you ever been there? Coming up against things, and you'll be struggling against things, and you're trying to figure it out in your mind, and then all of a sudden you'll get to a point and you say, stop, I'm going to pray, Lord. I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask you to give me wisdom. I'm going to ask you, Lord, to give me the answer here. And so we'll stop and actually start doing what we should have done at the beginning, amen? But living in the flesh, sometimes it's easy. It's the feel, touch, and taste. The extent of our understanding spiritually. Let me ask you, is that the extent of your understanding? Say, yes, I know Jesus, he's in my heart, but do you think about the spiritual realm, the impact? Because after all, you and I are spiritual beings. Our spirit man's inside us. We can't see it, but that's who we are. Spiritual beings fighting a spiritual foe. Trying to speak to the spirit of individuals to wake up and come to the Lord, to know the goodness of the Lord. Amen? We're not speaking to them in the flesh. We're speaking to the spirit man in them to wake up in Jesus' name. As spiritual beings, seeing those things. I think that's why God loves using the people that are the least. When I say the least, maybe in the world's eyes, they're like, what, I don't see it happening. Or because of their past, nothing good's going to come now. But God taking those things in the spiritual realm and making them manifest in the real world here in the feely touch, the flesh. He loves doing that. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. You know, your doctrine, I had said, has everything to do with your success as a Christian. Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. You know, they had a lot of things they knew in the Old Testament. They had the law, they had everything, but they were being destroyed because they didn't have an understanding of God. They didn't have an understanding of his love for them. And today, nothing has changed. Having an understanding of his love for us and an understanding who is opposing us, opposing the church, that message not go out, is in the spiritual realm. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. It doesn't mean necessarily that you're going to die tomorrow, but areas of our lives. He just wants areas of our lives to not come to strength. He just wants areas of our lives not to mature. Or he just wants areas of our lives not to come out of discouragement. And a lot of that time, it's lack of understanding. It's a lack of knowledge. Like I said, I've mentioned as I've grown in him, the thing that made me grow was understanding truth. Spiritually understanding truth. And then establishing myself in his word. Moving forward. Amen. If he's showing this video, if there's a video, you could be walking in the flesh of people walking, right? You see, everywhere you go, you see people just going. This walking, it must have buffered, huh, Bill? That wasn't even the video I had, is it? Anyway, I thought I had a cool video. Sent Bill the wrong thing. Sorry, Bill. But you see the hustle and bustle. You know, I love seeing those scenes from this New York when it's packed, or London. People just hustling, bustling in the physical realm. Not understanding that there's a whole realm behind that. I often wonder when I see those people hustling and bustling, I think about how many of those people know you, Lord? How many of those people are even aware of the spiritual realm? I don't know, probably a lot don't. But still hustling and bustling. Focused on what they can see, amen? Focused only what they see in the natural. So anyway, what it is all about focus. So we wrestle not against flesh and blood. In 2 Corinthians 4:18, it says, Paul says something that's astounding. He says, while we look not at the things which are seen. While we look not at the things that are seen? That seems like an oxymoron, doesn't it? So while we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So Paul first saying, say, hey, look at those things which you can't see. But that doesn't seem to make sense. So as we start laying a foundation going forward here, how do we see things that we can't see the natural? And if we don't lay a good foundation, we can get off into weirdness. We can get it off into the things that are actually the flesh. We can actually get off into things that hurt individuals and hurt bodies if we're not careful. So we start laying that foundation. For we look not at the things that are seen. You know, God doesn't allow us to perceive the spiritual realm for doctrine purposes. As I start laying the foundation here, it says in Colossians 2, 18 and 19, in the Passion Translation. That's not in the, but it says, take care. Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which has not which he has not seen. Now finally, Paul, write this with my own handwriting. I'm going to read this from what I have here. I'm not even going to read that. Let me read this from Colossians 2, 18 and 19 in the Passion Translation. Take care that no one keeps defrauding you of your prize by delighting in humility and the worship of angels, taking his stand on visions he has seen, inflated without cause by his fleshly mind, and not holding firmly to the head, from whom the entire body, being supplied and held together by the joints and ligaments, grows with the growth which is from God. Let me say this as we talk about these things, that our foundation, our doctrine, does not have come from seeing visions or dreams or things in the spiritual realm. Matter of fact, it says here, those are things that come from people's flesh. And actually become detached from the body, but they're standing firm on what they've seen, and they pull people away into confusion. What another thing is dangerous is people saying, I've seen, God has shown me this or that, but nobody else in the body knows about it. I know about this, but you don't know. That is your direct path to deception. Let me show you, when he's revealing things in the spirit, it's for the whole body. It's for the edification of the body. It's not something that it's just for you or that nobody else knows. It's something that he will give and reveal to the whole body in the entirety. So we got to be careful as we start talking about these spiritual things that we don't build a doctrine upon them. When you build a doctrine upon that, it's not the firm foundation of the Word of God, and it will surely fall. It will surely fall. So saying thank God that those things that we're going to talk about in the future, spiritual things, yes, they can have a benefit. Yes, they can encourage and strengthen the body. But by no means is it something that we establish a doctrine on. So what's Paul saying to me? See, Paul was saying this because, what was he saying about looking at the things you can't see? Paul was saying this because he was focused on eternal purpose and wasn't going to allow light affliction and the things the enemy in the unseen world brought against him to take him off track. He realized as he was pushing in the calling of God that things were coming against him. There was the Jewish sect. There was those that were trying to stone him. There was the people where he went that were coming against him. And he realized, you know what? This is all from Satan. This is coming from the enemy of people's souls. But he saw that by faith. He wasn't seeing just little, everywhere he go, just little demons everywhere. And I'm not saying, I'm not getting to that now. I'm saying that he realized by faith what was behind those things, opposing him, the things that were opposing him. So we aren't to focus, let me say this first, we aren't to focus on the unseen. But you said, wait a second, you just said that we look at the things. Well, let me continue. We aren't to focus on the unseen. We're looking at Jesus who makes us aware of the spiritual realm. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking only at Jesus, the originator and perfecter of the faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So as we're focused on him, the Lord Jesus makes us aware of the spiritual realm. It's not that we go looking for it. It's not that we just see it ourselves. If we focus on him, he reveals the things he wants us to see that oppose us. Now stick with me as I start building this. He is the one that reveals it. It's the Holy Spirit is the one that enlightens us. It's not on our own efforts. It's not on that we're looking for those things. We're looking at him, and then he starts to open up wisdom and understanding. Amen? So Paul says, how was Paul aware of seeing what was actually going on around him? So when we had read 2 Corinthians 4, that scripture, looking at the things you don't see, then he went on the next chapter talking about being in this earthly body and how we, and the struggles that he faced and how he was looking at the spiritual aspect of it. And then he says, well, how did I see these things? How did he see these things? And this is what he says in 2 Corinthians 5, 6, and 7. And he's talking in context of looking at the things that you can't see in the natural. Therefore, being always of good courage and knowing that while we are not at home in this body, while we are at home in this body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. The first thing knowing is we walk by faith, not by sight. Our establishment of moving on into supernatural and spiritual things is always based upon our faith in him. It doesn't matter what we see or don't see. Our faith is established in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen? It's faith that gives us those eyes. So when he says, hey, how did I see these things? I walk by faith, not by sight, which seems to contrary to what he just said. What are you saying? By faith in what God has taught me. I see what's behind here. I see what's actually coming against me. And we got to be aware today in this nation, what is actually coming against this nation? The lies of the enemy. They're lies, because he's the father of lies. So as we talk here, if you want to know what Satan has to say, just think opposite of what God is, opposite of truth. The father of lies. Our face, what we're coming against, what's coming against us. Paul's saying, I walk by faith, not by sight. Why do we say that? That as we, in the supernatural, being aware that what comes against us opposes us. I'm not looking to see something. I'm looking to him, the author and finisher of my faith. I'll let him choose what's to be revealed to me to see in the supernatural. I'm not going to make that choice. Or I'm not going to read a book and say, okay, I'm going to see those things. That's where we can get into danger. When we focus upon him, he will reveal those things he wants us to see in the supernatural. Amen. We thank you, Father, that we these things by faith. It did not say that we sit by faith, hold on by faith. Everyday people live this life somehow, some way. You see the streets of that crowded street I showed you. People walking, people hustling, people in a hurry, not seeing anything in the spiritual realm. But it says, but if we walk, if we're walking, you know, where are we headed? Let me ask you this. As we walk, where are we headed? Amen. I can tell you one thing, it's towards your purposes. What he has for us, we're walking by faith. When we talk about walking by faith, I think of Psalms 119, 105 says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Amen. Let me say, as we're talking about setting this foundation on walking or the believer's authority, that our sight or our direction or how we move forward is always by the word of God. Amen. It's the word that is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path in this dark world. His word directs me. His word is the one that gives me strength. His word is the one that helps me stay on that straight and narrow way, so to speak, in good doctrine. Amen? As we get into this thing, if we're not careful, once again, we could be looking for spiritual things that can actually take us off track, and we do not want to do that. Thank you, Lord, for your word that is a lamp. Do you love his word? His word is the one that'll direct you, regardless of what's going on. As supernatural things happen in your life, Father, we thank you for the word of God. I was going to hold up my Bible, but if this is my Bible, do you have a Bible? Hold it up. Thank you, Lord, for this word. Regardless of what happens in the supernatural, no matter of the miracles, no matter of your healing, Father God, this right here is our foundation. In Jesus' name, Father God, you sent your word and healed their disease. Amen. We thank you for this right here, God, keeping us on the straight and narrow, Father God, of truth, the word of God. How we love your truth. Amen and amen. Hebrews 11, 1 and 2, you know this. Now, faith is a certainty of things hoped for, a proof of things not seen. There's that word again, amen? Seen. Proof of things not seen, for by it the people of old gained approval. So I think of this, faith and certainty is what it talks about. Proof of what? Faith is what you hear and believe, right? You know in Romans 10, 16 and 17, it says, however, they did not all heed the good news. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's going back to that thing, the things that you hear are what you're going to believe. The things that you're willing to hear, you're going to believe. What is certainty and proof? Those things which you believe from the word of God. Do you have certainty in your life about God's provision in your life? Do you have certainty about you being born again, you being in his hand and nobody can remove you? Do you have certainty that he wants to bless you? Those are things that we read in the Bible, things that we take in our ears or read in the Bible. We either accept those, receive those, or we reject them. Faith is a certainty of the things that you're willing to believe. We quote that scripture, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So as we move on, I want to ask you, what do you believe about the word of God? What do you believe about your loving Savior? In talking to people, you'll hear, I believe in his salvation, he saved me, and that somehow I'll make it to heaven. But is there more than that as far as faith? What are we willing to hear in this day, in this hour? Faith cometh by hearing. What do you have faith in? Amen. Maybe I'll ask as we end the services this week, maybe start asking, say, Lord, what do I believe about you? You get busy in life and you're running and gunning, and sometimes it's good to, I want to stop this week myself and say, Lord, what do I believe? Faith cometh by hearing. What am I hearing, Lord? What am I believing? What is the substance in my life? I think sometimes the Lord wants to give us much more. Amen? Much more. As he declares his word to us, he says, hey, believe this and let this take root. Let my promises, the promises of God are yes and amen. Father, we thank you for more of those promises coming in our life to be outwards to others, to be a blessing. Amen. Father, we thank you for fresh ears. We can hear a scripture so long or just we can quote it. As I began to read this and God talking about the supernatural, it made me realize it says faith, those things that are going to be supernatural are going to be based upon what I believe, that I'm willing to take as promises. Amen. Your faith and what you believe has everything to do with your success as a Christian. Your understanding of the gospel will dictate what you believe and understand in the spiritual realm. The value of faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. Think of an example of Matthew 29, 27 through 30. As Jesus went on from there, two men who were blind followed him, crying out, have mercy on us, son of David. And after he entered the house, the men who were blind came up to him, and Jesus said to them, do you believe that I am able to do this? And they said to him, yes, Lord. Then he touched their eyes and said, it shall be done for you according to your faith. And their eyes were opened. And Jesus sternly warned them, saying, see that no one hears about this. Faith comes by hearing. They heard about Jesus somewhere, right? Blind and bad. I believe this. What I'm believing in this day as far as supernatural God's abilities in our lives, the unseen realm. As I'm saying afresh and anew, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Father, what am I hearing? What am I believing? The old cliche, I hear that. Am I believing your promises? Are they still real to me? Do I think about them? Do I still lay claim to those promises? Amen? With life or the things that we face or just life in general, we can sometimes just kind of discard that. I think we're in a time that the Lord is saying again, what do you believe? What are you willing to hang on to? What do you want to see happen? It shall be done according to your faith. The wonderful thing is as I read the word and I'm born again, man, I have the ability to hold on to those things. Say, yes, Lord, I'm going to believe in that for healing. I'm going to believe in that for my family. Father God, I'm going to believe in that for my nation. Father, I'm going to believe that for my own health. Lord, I'm going to believe in those things because your word declares those things belong to me. But faith cometh by hearing, Father God. So fresh and anew, as we hear these things, may we say, that's mine. That is mine. Victory. Victory over addiction in Jesus' name. That's mine. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Amen. Let me just tell you today that you are his child. You can be free. Tell yourself, I am free in those things that bother me. Continue to tell yourself that, and God will set you free. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Father, we thank you again for faith being established in our hearts to see the supernatural. The world's not going to believe us. We already know that, but they're following Satan. They're totally in the flesh. If we're going to worry about about what the world thinks about the supernatural, we're in trouble already. There'll be some that'll believe, but many saw the miracles of Jesus and they hung him on a cross. Amen. You know, and as we move forward, knowing and realizing Satan only interest is in robbing you and I, the believer. You know this scripture, John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that you might have life and have it abundantly. Amen. Another one, John 8:44 says, when he speaks a lie, talking about Satan, when he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of lies. You think about the enemy destroying, right? Or whatever God says, he's going to say the opposite. You think of going back all the way to Genesis chapter 3. Did God say that you would die? That's not true. Oh, he doesn't want you to know good and evil. So we know that he's the father of lies, so whatever God says, he says the exact opposite. Always the exact opposite. Satan is always portrays God, but is at the other opposite pendulum. As an example, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, right? What is the opposite of steal? So we know what God is. If Satan is a liar, we know that God, Jesus, is the author of truth. Amen? So it says the enemy steals. God says, I give. I'm a giver of life. Amen. I'm a good, good father. I'm a father of good gifts. He's here to protect. So if the enemy steals, the enemy is here to protect you. He has your back. He's your father. He loves you. He doesn't mean you harm. You have a future in him. The enemy comes to steal. He comes to give life. He's maintained you. Who maintains you? Him, the Spirit of God that lives in you. God maintains us. Amen? He's the one that gives us health. He's the one that gives me strength. Where the enemy steals, Jesus says, I give maintenance and help to you. The enemy steals, God says, be a receiver. I'm a giver. So the opposite of steal is receive. Amen? The enemy will tell you, you can't receive from God. That's not God. That's not God. God's saying, please receive from me. I died for you. Receive from me. Blessing, healing, deliverance, strength, ability, hope, religion. And the enemy says, you haven't arrived. You can't receive yet. That's the voice of the enemy. So the opposite of still, we know, is give, protect, maintain, receive. How about kill? He came to steal, kill, and destroy. So what's the opposite of kill? Life. He saves. Jesus saves. He preserves. Amen. Thank you, Lord, that we don't listen to the voice of the enemy in the name of Jesus Christ. When it says the enemy came to steal, kill, and destroy, it says that you came to give life, and you gave life abundantly. The opposite of kill is to save, to preserve, to initiate. How many of you want some God to initiate some things in your life? Amen. I do. Amen. How about you? That's how God made us, to initiate, to build up, to construct, to make free, to loosen in Jesus' name, to give birth, we're born again, and to create, the opposite of kill, those things. How about the opposite of destroy? The enemy came to steal, kill, and destroy. God came to mend. The opposite of destroy is mend, repair, to aid, to restore, to assist, and to give help. Father, we thank you that as we continue to move on in hearing and reading these things, Father, that we don't allow the voice of the enemy to deceive us. The wicked foe in the spiritual realm, Lord, we're very aware of his desire to destroy your believers' lives. Can't take your salvation, you're born again. But if he can get us to not walk by faith, to see in the spiritual by faith, he'll try to, as Andrew Womack says, eat your lunch and pop your bag. Amen. Aren't you glad that what God is, as he lays a foundation, as we start talking more about the supernatural, that we are justified freely by his grace, that we walk by his faith, that his word, amen, is a light into our path. Father God, as you begin to release and do things in our midst, Father God, as you begin to teach us things about the supernatural, that we're still firmly established in the faith. Firmly established. Ephesians 6:10 said, finally be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. So the first thing here is saying, stand firm in your faith. When the enemy speaks things, or when we become, our emotions can overwhelm us, that's when we need to say, Lord, I am standing by faith. One of the first things that helped me in my walk with the Lord as he began to teach me, build me up, is I am the just shall live by faith. My emotions do not direct me. My emotions would take me everywhere. And somehow I had this idea that my emotions that were taking me everywhere was like God's, was God. But that wasn't God at all. Amen? The just live by faith. If I hear condemning things, that's not God. That's the enemy. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So he's asking us to stand firm. Don't believe his lies. As your emotions, as you allow the Lord, that as you he builds you and you're establishing, you're standing firm, you will take control of your emotions. The spiritual realm and God showing us things, it's not connected just to your emotions. That's where people can run amok. Don't allow your emotions to be the one that says, I've got discernment, when it's just your emotions and it's not even the Lord. Don't assume that God has given you the ability to know everybody's motives. That's a struggle. That'll get you in trouble. Amen? God didn't call us to be fruit inspectors. Amen? I have a sister that jokes around with me. She says, Jesus is watching you and so am I. As we move forward, being established in faith is going to give us the ability to understand the supernatural. We're seen by faith. We'll talk about gifts and everything, but the first thing is being established in this faith. His word, amen? Him leading and guiding us in truth. John 5:24, most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life. And shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. This morning, do you believe that this morning? I know most of it did, but do you believe that? If you simply believe that Jesus is God, that he died for your sins, hung on a cross, was raised from the dead, that is what we call the beginning of faith. You're born, you become born again. He begins to teach you, to show you his ways. He begins to, we shall walk by faith. Amen. Allowing the things, the word of God that you hear, go from in here, going down into your heart realm. Letting the Spirit bring those things to life. Don't you love him today?
I want to say before too, Isaiah 40:29 says, he gives strength to the weary, and to the one who lacks might, he increases power. If you're weary today, let him strengthen you. Amen? Put your struggles, the things, your worries, put them upon him because he cares for you. Be willing to do that today. The enemy loves to bombard our minds with things that will just make us feel weighed down. I was mentioning to some people the other night, I remember that, this is before I understood God's grace and truth, that I was terribly just frustrated and discouraged. And so as I began to pray, I sensed this thing lifting off of me, and I could feel it moving across the room, and I could see it in the corner of the room before it left, the spirit of discouragement. Knowing that the enemy will discourage. There's supernatural powers that are working against you. But my focus was on not on that, Lord, let me to see that, but on him. If I'd understand grace, I probably would never had to struggle with that. To be honest, the truth, but I just wasn't measuring up. So that was harassing me. Let me say today that the thing that a lot of times the enemy will harass us or allow to harass us is based upon what we believe. Simply what we believe. The things, as I began to believe his truths for his love for me, it was amazing how things began to fall off. Simply by believing the truth. Amen? The first thing as far as spiritual authority is believing the truth. If you believe the truth, amen, about your relationship with him. The truth is like a guard. The enemy can't penetrate. He'll try to penetrate that with thoughts or through other people. And you simply say, I don't believe that. I reject that in Jesus' name. You have no place in my mind or in my soul realm in Jesus' name. As the music team comes up this week, as you're thinking about, Lord, thank you that I'm established in faith, that through faith, Lord, I can be aware. We're going to start laying out different tools. Lord, as I'm established in faith, first and foremost, in the Word of God, as I'm focused on you, Lord, I can begin to see the things that are going on and around me in a spiritual way. You can see where the enemy is working against people. I've heard of people have been harassed on a job to the point of tears, not realizing that person was working through it, the devil, to try to discourage them. Learning those things which we can do battle. Amen? So this week, let me challenge you this week. What do you believe? Maybe take a few minutes as far as your doctrine. What do you believe about health? Do you believe in divine healing? What do you believe about God prospering you? And I think in today it's hard because you'll see snake oil salesmen on TV that'll get money and say, you'll get a double anointing. Or you'll hear these things that aren't true. It's funny how the things that we can believe can keep us in bondage. I love reading church history, and Martin Luther, the time of Martin Luther, the only church in the Middle Ages there was a Catholic church. And they believed for you to have salvation, or you go to purgatory, right, a holding place, and serve some time before you can go to heaven. They said, but if you'll give money, or if you'll do these acts, amen? They called them indulgences. The entire world believed that in 1500. But the matter of fact is, it wasn't true. It was a lie. It was simply by faith. My point is all those people held in bondage because of a lie. As we move forward in the weeks, Father, we thank you for breaking lies that might be lodged in our hearts in Jesus' name. Father, that keep us held back in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for revealing the truth, Father God, supernatural truth in the coming weeks. Father, we thank you, Lord, for those things that keep us locked down. Hundreds and hundreds of years, people during this time after the Roman Empire locked down by many, many lies. Things that weren't truth. They believed them as a truth. Locked down. Scared to death of God. Giving because they thought that would get God's favor. Man, I turn on the TV sometimes and things don't change. Things haven't changed. Still have indulgences. You want God's favor? Please give to me.
You want God to heal you? Please give to me. That's an example of nonsense. He loves you. He doesn't need anything from you for him to love you. He doesn't need anything from you, just your heart. Can we stand up together? Father, we thank you this morning, Father. If you're willing, can we hold up our hands? Can we raise our hands? Say, Father, my heart belongs to you. Thank you, Jesus. My heart belongs to you. Faith, say this, faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. Lord, I'm teachable. Reveal yourself to me. Lord, I'm teachable. One more. Lord, I'm teachable. If there's anything we need today in the church is people that are teachable. Lord, let us be teachable. Not by just some man, but by the truth of the Holy Spirit, the word of God. Lord, thank you for making us teachable in this day and age. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Father God, realizing that as we're established in the truth of faith, Father, that supernatural is released. We thank you for the supernatural being released, Father God. We thank you, Father God, in the coming week, learning about healing, provision, strength, wholeness, Father, in you. Father, we thank you for the truth of your word, Jesus. As we're here to receive from you, and we thank you for that in Jesus' name. This week, I just ask you to think about it, even maybe write it down. Lord, what do I believe? What do I believe about health? What do I believe, Father God, about finances? And let me ask you this. What do you believe about spiritual gifts? What do you believe about the baptism of the Holy Spirit? And just write down just some things we want to talk about that could be challenging. But I ask that you be patient. Let the Lord speak to you. The things that God gives the church, he gives his people as weapons of warfare against the enemy. And so we thank that today, Father, as we stand by faith, how we love and worship you. We thank you for blessing this week. Thank you for blessing this week, Father. Thank you for strengthening this week. Thank you, Lord, we're standing firm by faith this week, regardless of how I feel, regardless of what's going on in my mind, Father, I stand firm in your love. I stand firm this week in your love. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. Let's sing and be, we'll sing a song and be, woohoo.
Praise in our lungs,
we pour out.